Acts chapter 8, we read verses 34 and 35. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Stephen was dead to begin with. He had been a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. He had spoken the word with power, but now he was dead and gone. No doubt about it. And the church had lost a leader. But that wasn't the end of it. That was to begin with. That was just the beginning of persecutions designed to drive the gospel from Jerusalem, to create a famine in the land, to make of it a spiritual desert, devoid of the water of life, empty of the cool, kind words of the Master, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And yet, as believers were driven from the city into other regions, they took with them the good news of Jesus, the water of life, just as you will when you are driven from this campus or drive from this campus at the end of this week. Philip, who had been elected a deacon at the same time that Stephen was elected a deacon, went into Samaria, and that spiritual desert began to bloom and break forth into singing. That ancient land of Elijah's discouragement now rejoiced in Jesus, the Savior. There was so much response to the gospel among the Samaritans that two of the apostles were sent up from Jerusalem to meet with them. And when those apostles returned to Jerusalem, the Spirit of God sent Philip south to the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert road. Geography question: is there life in the desert? From the great crowds in Samaria, God sends Philip to an uninhabited region. Does that make sense? Ah, but there is a traveler, one man, passing through that desert. He is an Ethiopian eunuch, a dependent of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Here is a servant who rides in a limousine. He doesn't even have to do his own driving, so he can read as he goes. You see, he occupies a high position in Ethiopia, even as a servant. He's in charge of the royal treasury, which is a position of power and trust. He can afford to make long trips. Would you like a summer job like that? But wait, with all of this access to wealth that he has, with health and wealth, he's seeking something else that gives meaning to life. Maybe religion? Well, he has just come from Jerusalem, from the temple, from the pageantry, the services, the ceremonies, the songs, and the celebrations. But still, he needs something more than his private jet or mere religious ceremonies. He pores over the Scriptures as he journeys through that desert. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song. The Ethiopian senses the sweetness as his lips form the words that tell of a substitute sufferer. And he struggles to understand. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Maybe a biology question: is there life in the desert? Here is one traveler, and God sends Philip into the wilderness just for him, where will he send you this summer? What if he sends you to bring the news of forgiveness to just one person? Philip finds one who is well off but looking for more, religious but sensing something missing, reading but not understanding. Enter Jesus Christ. And suddenly it all begins to come into focus for the Ethiopian. All the wealth of the world might as well be deposited in a fog bank, for it will not last, nor answer to God for our lives. But the Lamb who was led to the slaughter, he lives and reigns to all eternity, and his life answers for ours. His riches become ours. Jesus Christ is what puts meaning into any of our religious observances and our lives, even what we're doing here today. Seeing Jesus in the Scriptures is what brings understanding also. The Scriptures are not just so many rules and regulations so that things go well for us in this life or even in the life to come. The Scriptures are they which testify of him, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, including you. No wonder this encounter led to baptism for the Ethiopian. No wonder he could go on even after Philip had been taken from him and he was alone in the desert again. On Easter evening, two disciples spoke with each other about their meeting with Christ, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and open the Scriptures to us?" And their 7-mile run back to Jerusalem showed that their hearts still burned within them. And so it was also with the Ethiopian, for he went on his way rejoicing. And what about us? Our final exams, a dry desert for us? Or maybe a different kind of exam is closer in our future than we think. The months that follow, could emptiness and uncertainty descend upon us then? Or maybe your desert will be further along in your life. When you arrive there, then it will become a vital question. Is there life in the desert? Will you find yourself in that desert like the Ethiopian, needing help and wisdom? Or like Philip, bringing Christ, who is help and wisdom and strength, to someone else? Whether you are in the desert as one or the other, or maybe both at the same time, you may count on God's blessing in Christ. You may count on God's blessing in Christ. So as your Spanish exam might put it, vaya con Dios, go with God. Amen. I invite you to open your hymnals, your supplements, to 780, hymn 780, and I ask you, or invite you to personalize it today, because the ministry of the keys is given to each believer in Christ, and even the work of the called servants is done in your name. So, read they as we, them as us, and there as our. Dear Lord, to your true servants, give the grace.